here in pieces, and you're having to lose the Scrambia!
It's a dark time for the Podosphere. Marshal Latham, striking from a hidden base, has won his first victory since forming the Journey Into podcast. During the battle, he managed to steal Rish Outfield away from the Doomsteef podcast, forming an alliance between them based on their love for Star Wars. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Marshal and Rish believe they have something interesting to say about the decades-old franchise, its characters, the players behind the scenes, and the new adventures to come. Clearly, they must be suffering from delusions of grandeur.
I'm out of it for a little while. Everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
Greetings and salutations, Star Wars listeners. I am your not too far gone host, Marshal Latham.
And I'm Rish Outfield. I don't know how far gone I am, but this is Delusions of Grandeur. It feels like a long, long time. How long has it been, Marshal?
It's been at least a couple months since we got together, maybe 3 months.
Yeah, it's so weird. Episode 7 has come and gone. It's going to be on DVD on the 12th. And, I where do we start?
Oh, I really liked seeing, Darth Vader come back. And
see, yeah, I had heard, somebody had spoiled that. And so when he showed up, there were people in the audience that gasped, but I kind of knew it was coming. You know?
Yeah, yeah. The Force vampire was pretty cool, though.
Oh, you know, I what was her name? Shoot, there was a cool name. One of those which had too many consonants in it, but yeah, she was neat.
That was cool.
I'm not sure that it was wise to give her CG breasts and have the rest of her be real, but you know, they tried to do a mix of practical effects on this, and that's commendable.
Yeah. Well, you know, Star Trek had done the three-breasted woman, so they had to go six on it for Star Wars, I guess, so.
All right, what are we really talking about today, sir?
Well, I was thinking about that old cartoon that used to come on the TV. It was called Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, yeah. We could look back on the the long and storied career of Star Wars Rebels.
Yes. Do you remember the first episode?
I do. It feels like yesterday. Let's see. It was a Monday. And I guess on Disney XD, they were gearing up for the premiere of Star Wars Rebels. And so all the shows that day on that channel were Star Wars related. So like there was the Star Wars Phineas and Ferb episode and the Star Wars horrible tween sitcom 1, 2, 4, and 7 that were all, you know, they had Jedis or they had lightsabers or they had Billy Dee Williams or they had something on there that happened to coincide with Star Wars. And in the corner of the screen, they had a countdown to how close to Rebels we were. And my nephew was watching it and he kept running in to tell me what he was seeing on the commercials and the things like that. And I was just like, wow, he's really into this. Or maybe he knows that I'm into this. But it was neat because he'd run in and he says, I saw Chewbacca. And so I said, okay, you know what? We're going to record this and we're going to watch it together. Little did I know the show had already aired on main Disney Channel. Is that right?
It had. Yeah. I think it was on the 3rd of October. It had aired on the Disney Channel. And I had taped it on that night.
Well, what you taped was way better than what I taped.
Oh.
Because what you taped was a full hour long episode.
It was, yeah.
And what they showed on Monday was just the first half of that hour. And then you had to tune in the next week to get the other half. So I was able to find that one from the Disney Channel and watch it once we reached the halfway point and the credits started to roll. So I think I'm at the same point as you are in the show.
So what did you think?
Dude, I really, really liked it. I think I liked it more than the kids did, because the kids have very small attention spans, and there are toys and there are other things. So I watched it with my two nephews, and sometimes I would have to draw their attention to the screen and say, hey, look at that. And, oh, that's a TIE fighter and stuff. But it really spoke to me in a way that I was surprised about, because, you know, I like animated films, but I don't really like cartoons, you know, the television show week to week cartoons.
Yeah.
They often feel like they're not made for me. Like, you know, it's made for a little kid, or it's made for a tween or something like that. But like every time they blasted a stormtrooper or they blew up an X-Wing and there were consequences, you know, like these guys actually died and they were going to herd all these Wookiees they were going to put them on a ship and send them to the spice mines of Kessel and work them until they died.
Yeah.
I was just like, why? You know what? Maybe this is for me and not just for little kids.
Yeah, it felt really more, I mean, kids would enjoy it, but I think it was also good enough where the adults will enjoy it as well. I got a kick out of it. I wasn't sure what to think. As you know, I've been watching the Clone Wars cartoons and trying to get full up watching all of those. And I've enjoyed that for the most part. You know, it's not something that I have to watch. There's a couple really good series in there that I liked quite a bit. But it wasn't, it was kind of cool and neat, and they did some fun things. But just watching the first few minutes of Rebels got me excited about it. I mean, the scene where the Star Destroyer, you can see it in the atmosphere. And then to hear the TIE fighters coming overhead and the TIE fighters shooting at them. And then you have the speeder bikes and they're whizzing around back and forth. And it just brought back all those memories of watching the original trilogy. And I thought they did a really good job with it.
Yeah, I did too. I got a nostalgia shock or whatever you call it, whenever it was something that I recognized from my childhood. And the music played a big part of that.
Yeah.
There were so many tracks it was mostly from the original Star Wars. Like they played Princess Leia's theme and they played the Force theme a bunch of times. And I just, wow, every time it played, it was like a little reminder of where this comes from and what this is attached to. And, you know, I'm sure that the Clone Wars cartoon probably did that too. But I could never really get into the Clone Wars cartoon. I never cared enough about those characters to watch it. And this seemed to have a great advantage in that, well, they're all new characters. And, you know, you don't have to have any preconceptions or bad performances or anything like that to help you or hurt you in judging whether you like these guys or not.
Yeah, exactly. You talked about the music a little bit. I mean, the first time when Ezra, the con artist, Aladdin type character, is, you know, he's doing his thing, trying to survive. And then he just kind of sits there for a minute and you hear the, or whatever, you know, the little Force theme, like that when Obi-Wan first shows up. That was pretty cool too, to hear that and realize, ah, he's feeling the Force right now, you know, and to kind of bring all that together. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, that stuff was neat. Another thing that I picked up on, and I don't know how diehard a Star Wars fan you have to be, but a lot of the designs were from Ralph McQuarrie's like early sketches. Like that character, is it Zeb? He is how McQuarrie first drew Chewbacca.
Ah, okay. I didn't put that together. I've seen those drawings, but it's been a while.
And there was like a bunch of droids that were McQuarrie's original drawing of IG-88. And that helmet that the kid puts on and communicates with the Empire through, that was McQuarrie's original drawing for the Snowtroopers, I believe, for Empire Strikes Back. And that stuff was just really cool to me. I was like picking up on those little things. And those, just the planet that it takes place on at the very beginning, with those big gourd-looking mountains or growths or hills or whatever those things are, was from McQuarrie's concept art when they were designing what planets would look like and stuff like that. And so I don't know if that would feed into anything subconscious if you didn't already know what that was, but it just felt at home in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. That's pretty neat that they're giving homage to McGuire there. I didn't catch those. I'm not a true fan.
No, that's all right. No, I mean, I'm sure you picked up on stuff that I wouldn't have, too, just depending on what you're interested in. But yeah, the I think what we've talked about with Episode 7, you know, the potential of Episode 7 is right there with Rebels, where the Empire is just this gigantic, unstoppable force in this show. You know what I mean? They're at the height of their power,
right?
And no one would dare stand in their way. And you know what? Maybe that culminates in the creation of the Death Star. But I did just love that, how, you know, there were very few who would even dare stand up to the stormtroopers or let alone, you know, a Star Destroyer or something like that. And these guys are just so arrogant, the bad guys, because who would dare when they have a, you know, a ship that's that big and weapons that powerful and all that? Oh, that kind of stuff is neat. It immediately makes you root for the good guys when they introduce all those guys that are in the little Hooverville or what, Tarkinville, I guess they call it, who've all been displaced because the Empire, you know, wants what they have and just kicked them off planet. And that stuff really resonated with me.
Yeah, I did like the Empire. I was kind of worried that they're not going to use Darth Vader and they're not going to use... Well, they probably will use Tarkin at some point because they used Tarkin in the Clone Wars. So they might use Tarkin again in here. But I really liked the Agent Kallus and, you know, his kind of righteous indignance toward these rebel scum. Even, you know, this is before there was a rebel base or anything like that. This is just a ragtag group of rebels, but just his self-righteous pride or whatever. And, you know, like you said, you know, that at the one point when they go try to save Ezra off the ship, you know, he just can't believe, well, nobody's ever attacked one of our ships before. They're crazy to do something like that. I wasn't quite sure what to think of the Inquisitor, seeing pictures and stuff about it before it aired. And they really didn't show much until the very end about the Inquisitor. But even that I've kind of warmed up to and looking forward to seeing who he is and how he seeks after these rebels. And particularly, is it Kanan who's the Jedi survivor?
Kanan is the Jedi?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'll be really fun to watch.
Yeah, I like that, you know, just that idea that in just such a short time, Jedi are a myth now. And you know, I mean, that's partly a problem with the prequels, you know, in that not enough time passes between the Clone Wars and A New Hope for people to be, you know, to not know what Jedi are and stuff like that. But it's, you know, just that the Empire is so all-encompassing that, you know, even that word is probably not well-known or not spoken. And yeah, it's kind of cool that the kid, Ezra is his name?
Yeah, Ezra.
That he feels the force. I mean, we know what it is, and he doesn't.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because the first time I think we ever see Luke use the force is in the X-Wing about to blow up the Death Star.
Yeah.
You know, he had already been taught what it is, and this kid, yeah, he just doesn't know, but something inside him is saying, you need to go here and look at this, and I don't know. That spoke to me too. I've always liked that idea of the Force chooses the people that it needs, or that anybody can grab onto the Force if, you know, if they want it bad enough. I don't know. It was just something as a little kid. I used to wish. Oh, I wish I had the Force and I could do this stuff.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about the characters and what we think of them. I guess so. You know, we both talked about Ezra a little bit, but I kind of liked, and it was kind of funny to me how much to me he resembled Aladdin.
I mean, it wasn't until you really mentioned it, but yeah, he's totally Aladdin, isn't he? He's an orphan, yeah. And he's a thief, and you know, he can't trust anybody or count on anybody but himself. He has the same kind of hair. And
when I picked up on it is after he distracted the stormtroopers or whatever, and they were stealing the guy's fruit, and then he's taking the guy's fruit after he goes, he says, oh, gotta eat, you know.
Wow, you're right. That's part of the song of the Aladdin song, though.
It is, yeah. So I was like, hey, that's Aladdin. But I liked him. I thought he was a good character. He's a good point of view character, especially for the first one, I guess.
Okay, so, and the leader, the Jedi guy, it says here is Kanan Jarrus is his name, and Freddie Prinze Jr. voices him. That I didn't know.
Really? That I didn't know either. Yeah, I guess that, because I don't get XD channel on my cable. And so maybe I just haven't been watching all the lead-in promos and stuff. I guess I didn't realize he was going to be a Jedi.
Oh, cool.
So that was kind of a neat reveal for me at toward the end. I guess I'm spoiling it for everybody in the audience if they haven't seen it. But
yeah, that moment when he pulls out the lightsaber and you see the stormtroopers all go, oh, that was neat. And also just that he has a little, is it called a holocron? With holocron, Obi-Wan, yeah, on it saying, you know, that the Jedi have fallen, do not go back to the Jedi temple and all that stuff. That was really neat. That, I mean, it's tied into the prequels, but in a way that I dug it, just that long ago that movie happened. And
yeah,
you know, he still carries this around. And I guess it's a test to find potential new Jedi.
Yeah, if you can open the holocron, that means you have force sensitivity or whatever. But I was going to ask you if you were those the lines, you know, when Obi-Wan was talking and warning everybody to stay away, were those the lines from the movie that were used? Did you know that?
Oh, I don't believe so. I didn't remember there being.
I remember he went off when he was, they went first went in the Jedi Temple with Yoda and everybody, and they found the younglings, and I thought there was a little part where he went off to warn. Maybe he just said he was going to warn everybody not to come back to the temple, but they never played that scene. But I didn't know if that was actual script from the movies or not.
Okay, well, wait a second. Let me go back. How did you watch the episode if you don't have Disney XD? How did you watch it?
Well, it was just on the Disney Channel that for the premiere. They premiered it on the Disney Channel the week before it was on XD. So I do get the Disney Channel, so I just DVR'd it.
Okay. It says here on the internet that it's going to air on the 26th of October on Sunday on ABC.
Oh,
if
it
somebody
is.
Doesn't have cable at all.
Oh, okay.
And that's got an added scene with the greatest Star Wars character of them all, voiced by James Earl Jones in it. That you and I didn't see, so.
Oh.
Wow.
That might be worth checking out.
So if we can get this to air before then, that would be cool. Let people know they haven't missed their chance if they, you know, want to turn that on.
Yeah, and I'm kind of hoping that they do some of that where they, you know, maybe half a season in, they start airing reruns or something on the Disney Channel or on ABC or something. But if not, I'll have to wait or go against the law or something.
Well, yeah, I was telling my friend Big, I said, hey, you should watch this and we can all three of us talk about it. But I don't know what you do if you don't have cable or a friend who has cable that wants to watch it also.
Yeah. Well, hey, Rich, I think this might be a good time to pause for a message from our sponsor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then we'll be back.
This is Crazy Kelvar Moran here from Kelvar's Droid Exchange. We got a brand new shipment in of astromech droids ready to usher in the year 3. Our astro droids are smart and reliable and guaranteed to work in tip-top shape for at least one light cycle or one standard year, whichever comes first. Come on in today and pick up an R2, R5, or RX unit, and we'll throw in a sensor scope, interface claw, zapper, love attachment, and one of them Dalek suction cup things absolutely free. Now, why would I do this? Because I'm crazy. And a way better bargain than that dirty Trandoshan at Thusk's Robot Depot. Plus, if your droid should ever malfunction and, say, murder a member of your family, we will trash the offender and give you a free upgrade to an RX or R7 model. Now, immediate family only, no cousins or nephews, mind you. Now, why would I do this? Because I'm crazy, Kelvin, and I'm also the best. find us at 6 interstellar locations, including our new outpost on the Lover's Moon orbiting Alderaan. Come see us soon, and long live the Emperor!
So, where were we?
Let's see, we were talking about characters.
Yes.
So Zeb, we mentioned already, he's an alien species we haven't seen before. And I like his gruff voice. He's kind of an anti-hero, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's
like kind of like a Ben Grimm or something like that.
Oh, hey, that's a good point. Yeah, he doesn't like the kid at first and sort of grows to respect him, if not like him. That sort of stuff is neat.
Yeah.
A big, strong oaf of a dude. He's kind of the comic relief, too, it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I guess you're right. He's more of an anti-hero because he's not quite the valiant type, like when he leaves the kid behind and things like that. But yeah, I liked him a lot. I thought he was a good counterpoint to the other characters there.
Then we have the girl that has the Mandalorian helmet, the Boba Fett helmet.
Yep. That's Sabine.
Right, Sabine. I couldn't remember that. Good job. I couldn't tell. Wait, is she Asian? Is that what the story is? Why she looks different than the other characters?
I don't know. She almost has like a golden or an orange type skin, and her eyes are a little different. So I don't know what species she's supposed to be.
Oh, I think she's human.
Oh, is she human? Okay.
I'm just. I think she's just supposed to be a different race than the other characters. Although, you know, I don't know what race Ezra is supposed to be. He is whatever Aladdin is.
That's right.
But yeah, I had seen something with her. I guess Disney had made some little 3-minute episodes leading up to the premiere of the actual show. And each one of these episodes would introduce one of those crew members. Okay. And the first one that I saw was about Sabine, and she had snuck into a TIE fighter. Shoot, what's it called? Place where all the TIE, like, you know, where planes are docked.
A hangar?
A hangar, right. And she spray paints this rebel symbol on the side of a TIE fighter, and then the stormtroopers come after her, and she blows up the TIE fighter and escapes. And it was just exciting to see a TIE fighter. I know it makes me sound like a little kid, but it's just like, oh, I love those. And yeah, at the very end of the 3 minutes, she takes off her helmet and we see that what she looks like. And I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I think they kind of were setting up a little bit of a love interest between her and Ezra.
Yeah, Ezra immediately is drawn to her.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. And then we have is it Twi'lek or Twi'lek?
I've always said Twi'lek, but I don't know that they've ever actually said it on any of the movies.
I think it's Twi'lek, but she's Hera, and she's the pilot, I guess.
Yeah, she seemed to be like the one with the most heart, the most caring of like all of them. Maybe she's the conscience of the team.
Yeah, she seems to have a history with Kanan. Maybe
are they in a romantic relationship?
I don't know if they're in a romantic relationship, but I think maybe it was those two that started this little group. I don't know. I don't know their history, but supposedly there's supposed to be a novel coming out with, I think it's those two, Hera and Kanan.
And talks about how they get everybody else in their group?
I think so. I think that's
how they put
about
the band together.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the Muppets.
I think that's neat. And then there was the little robot, the R2 unit, and my nephew knew his name already, probably from commercials or whatever. He said it was Chopper.
Yeah, yeah.
And in looking him up, he is also based on Ralph McQuarrie's concept art for R2.
Oh, he is. That's cool.
Just, you know, squatter, and if he was originally supposed to be orange like that. But I thought that he had a personality, and he didn't, for once, it was a droid that wasn't just R2's voice. It was like totally different beeps and whistles and blats this one had.
Yeah, just kind of a grumbly, I don't know how to describe it, but just more of a not so chipper, I guess, as R2. They didn't really feature him too much, so I'm sure we'll get to know that personality a little bit more.
Well, without a C-3PO character, do all of the all the crew members or the rebels? What do we call this group?
Rebels, I guess. They're probably the first rebels.
Do they all understand what this guy says, what Chopper says?
I'm trying to think who Chopper interacted with. Was it mostly Hera?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Chopper obviously understood what they wanted him to do. You know, they said, hey, guard the boy. And then when the boy escapes, you can hear Chopper going, he's upset and all that. But I don't know if we need a character that says, oh, Chopper says that, you know, we'll be there in 3 hours or whatever.
Speaking of Chopper, I did like that scene where when Ezra was sneaking into Kanan's cabin there and stole the holocron. And you just see Chopper kind of go by, stop, and then keep going. And then pretty soon he brings the other people back to take care of him. I thought that was kind of neat.
And that's the thing with the television series is that we can get a whole episode where, like, Chopper saves the day.
Right.
Or a whole episode where we meet, like, the Twi'lek's family and find out what her background is and all that stuff. And just give us week to week a reason to love every single one of these characters.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I think it'll be good. It's good nostalgia. It's good. I'm sure the first year we're probably just trying to find their footing and get a feel for where the series is going to go. But, you know, I think the next season, the second, third seasons, they'll probably just kick into high gear. And
well, I see. I don't think there was anything wrong with the first episode.
No.
I think they hit the ground running. And so that makes me far more likely to watch it. I see. I never watched Clone Wars, but everybody that did see the first episode, you know, whether it was the three parts edited together in the theater or just watching it, said, it'll get better. It's, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
But on this one, I don't feel like I have to say that. It's just like, no, watch that first episode. And if you don't want to watch any more after that, then don't. But I think it'll hook you.
I felt that they didn't have anything to prove. I mean, I guess they do because they're trying to start off a new series. But it just seemed kind of effortless where they were trying too hard, I think, with the original Clone Wars. And they just don't have all that baggage. You know, like you said, these are new characters that we really don't know much about. You know, where Clone Wars, you know, it had the baggage of the movies, plus what were they going to do with Obi-Wan and Anakin and that kind of thing, and as well as bring in new characters, where they don't have any of that with this one. So that's one step ahead for them, I think.
Yeah, that's right. We don't know what ends up happening to any of these characters. Whereas on Clone Wars, yeah, we'd already seen how it ends.
Exactly, yeah.
One thing is, I paid attention to the guy who wrote it. His name was Simon Kinberg. He wrote the first episode. And he's written a ton of stuff. This guy wrote some of the X-Men movies, like First Class, Last Stand, Days of Future Past.
Wow.
He wrote Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which I think is a great flick with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
He's a writer on Big Hero 6, which comes out really soon. But most importantly, he and Lawrence Kasdan are writing episode 8 and episode 9 of the live action Star Wars movies.
That's encouraging, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of cool that you know, he's doing the cartoon and he's obviously got a lot of love for the Star Wars universe and I don't know, he can plant seeds in this show, I guess, that could bear fruit in the feature films, although the feature films, I assume, take place like 40 years later, right?
Right. Yeah, well, because this is, what, 5 years or 10 years ahead of New Hope?
I think it said this is 5 years before a New Hope.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense because things are pretty similar to that.
But see, that's a really smart place too, because it's not right there at the same time that, you know, the Death Star goes online and that, you know, Luke's family is killed and all that stuff. But it's close enough that we could see Luke, that we could see Leia, that we could see Bail Organa and, you know, Han and all those guys if they wanted to.
Yeah, I'm guessing that we will, especially probably as the series goes on, we'll see Mon Mothma and all that. So I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I do too. I'm really excited about it. And also, you know, it's neat to be able to watch it with the kids. hopefully they will be excited about watching each new episode with me. That would be neat.
Yeah, that was interesting too. I taped it thinking, oh, we could all have a big family sit down and watch the movie, but it never worked out that way. You know, when the kids were watching TV, I wasn't around, and so I watched it without the kids.
You watched it by yourself?
I watched it by myself, yeah. And fast-forwarded through all the commercials and stuff. So I don't think the kids have watched it yet, so I need to see what they think.
Yeah, I will ask you in a future episode what they thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, another thing that I hope we see is, I mean, again, it ties back to the prequels, and I'm not a fan of that, but I'd like to know where Kanan was when all the Jedi were killed. You know what I mean? And if he feels guilt about that. If he's like, if only I had been there, maybe I could have made a difference in that, you know, and all my friends died and everything that we believed in was stamped out. I don't know. With the way episode 3 went, there would probably be a lot of people that believe the Jedi are traitors and you know, that it was good that they got exterminated. I don't know.
Hopefully they'll discover that in the cartoon series rather than going back to where you would have to read the novel to get all.
Yeah,
that.
Okay, that's a good point. Any chance you will read that?
I don't know. Maybe if it comes on Audible, I might grab it. But you know, that was one of the things that kind of torqued me off about, like, General Grievous. There was a book that came out that was all about him and all about where he came from and everything. And my sister read it, and she says, oh, this is great. You know, it really helps you understand who he is and really makes, you know, episode 2 more meaningful because you understand what he's all about. But I'm like, well, why do I have to go read a novel to enjoy a movie? It's just all kind of scrapped together for the movies to hurl the storyline along. So hopefully they don't do that here, because they have the forum with a weekly series to go into all these characters and that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know that they just put out a book about Tarkin.
Right.
And see, I'm curious about that too, you know. It's just like, see, I always thought it would be really neat to, and I probably talked about this in A Delusions of Grandeur, but I thought it would be really neat to see, like, Tarkin rise up through the Empire and see if he had some relationship with Bail and Leia Organa before Star Wars, and whether, you know, he was always ridiculously evil or he became slowly corrupted, or, you know, I mean, we don't know anything about him, and he's the chief villain of that first movie, and nobody ever talks about the guy, you know. It was just surprising that they mentioned Grand Moff Tarkin in this show, because he's sort of the forgotten bad guy of the Star Wars series.
And to these characters in this series, I mean, he's like the big bad guy. There was, like I was saying, there was an episode or a couple episodes of Clone Wars where I think there was a bunch of Jedi that were at a separatist prison camp or something, and they went on a secret mission to save them all. And I can't remember what rank he was, but Tarkin, Captain Tarkin or something like that, was accompanying them on this mission, and he had some interaction with Anakin that was kind of interesting, you know, their conversation. And of course Obi-Wan didn't like his attitude at all, and Anakin was kind of saying, well, you know, he has a couple good points about how to rule the universe or whatever.
Well, so wait a second, remind me, which side is he on during the Clone Wars?
He is on for the Republic.
So he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He fights alongside the Jedi and
he does. Yeah, but he kind of has his own ideas and kind of makes fun of the Jedi's for their valor and things like that. So he's on the Republic side, but he's got his own ideas and.
Well, see, I'm interested in that. I think that's neat.
Yeah. That was kind of pretty cool.
Yeah, I know that they wrote a book about Darth Maul and where he came from. And they wrote one about Vader and I guess what happened to him after he got the helmet on and all that. And I never read it, but that sort of stuff is interesting to me because somebody spends, you know, 400 pages or 300 pages getting into that character's head. They'll probably come to life in a way that they don't in the 6 minutes that they show up on, you know, whatever, episode 3 or 2 or...
Yeah, that was a book that came out recently, right? About both the Emperor and Vader.
Oh, is there one about the Emperor too?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but it's with like their relationship when after he's Vader. Now I'm gonna have to look that up.
No, I think I know what you're talking about. And see, there's an advantage. Once the prequels are done, you can write these books knowing where it's going to go and not contradicting anything, filling in the gaps and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, for a long, long time, there were certain things that Lucas wouldn't let you write about and things that we didn't know.
Right.
Anyway, I just wanted to talk to you about that because it was something new, you know, and something to get excited about. There are Rebels toys and you know, Rebels stuffed animals. I saw a plush chopper the other day. And so, you know, they put a lot of money into this and hopefully it catches on. I have no idea if it got good ratings or anything like that, but I will tune in.
Yeah, I think I'll try to follow it as much as I can. All right, well, I think that's probably enough time.
Yeah. Okay, well, no, it's just been nice to get together with you again, and I'm sorry that I haven't done it in so long. We pod-faded there, didn't we?
We did. We did pod-fade, but we came back. So, no, it was kind of a mutual break there, too. I had a lot of things going on, so. But it's good. It's good to talk about Star Wars again. So we'll try not to let as much time pass between the next couple episodes.
Good. Yeah, these are exciting times, man. With lots of new stuff coming about and new stuff to look forward to.
It is. So for now, I guess we'll sign off. We'll be back talking Star Wars in a little while.
All right. Well, I've been Rish Outfield.
And I've been Marshall Latham.
And let's blow this thing and go home.
I got nothing.
You said it, Chewie.
You said it, Chewie.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
The Delusions of Grandeur podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. This means you can share it with anyone, but do not change it or sell it. Many Bothans died to bring us this information.